vain. That word means to treat God's incredible grace as worthless, as useless, as meaningless. In other words, you're just walking all over it. That's what he says. It doesn't have any value. Listen, God's grace is never unproductive. Did you know that?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians today, and he's entitled this next message, Grace Waster. Now let's join Pastor Bill.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 this morning, as we start a new chapter in our series that we're doing through the study of 2 Corinthians. You know, it's hard to believe that today is the last day of March, isn't it? I mean, that just so blows me away. And tomorrow is April 1st, that's April Fool's Day, that's the atheist holiday. And, so who knows what they're going to be doing. But you know, so as we turn again to Paul's most intimate, his most personal letter, as I mentioned nearly every time we open the book of 2 Corinthians, and it's written to a church. Corinth, again, you know, if there's ever been a church that is so in trouble, it's Corinth. And we've already studied out 1 Corinthians, and we know all the abuses that they were undergoing, you know, the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit, not believing in the resurrection or questioning it, you know, division, sexual immorality, drunk at the Lord's Supper, you name it, they were doing it. So 1 Corinthians was very corrective in narrative, but when we get to 2 Corinthians, here Paul exposes his heart like no other epistle that he has written. And it's written, of course, as we know already, to it's a rebuttal, if you will, to defend his apostolic authority, his character, his ministry, because false teachers have entered into the church, and they literally have the church at Corinth, they're trusting what the false teachers are saying, believing in all the accusations that they're making against Paul. Can you imagine being in the church that Paul founded? I mean, think about that. Can you imagine? I mean, how thankful would you be? I mean, there is a man who is sold out completely to God, founded the church at Corinth, and yet with all of that, you know, Paul has led them all to the Lord. And they're not thankful for Paul. And so instead of defending Paul from these false teachers, Paul has to turn around and defend himself. So the church at Corinth, they now embrace the false teachers instead of embracing the one that loves them. And actually, as it says over in chapter 12, would freely give his life for them. So with all that being said, we left off now, very important, last Sunday, with new creation realities that, you know, we've been reconciled unto God, that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the word of reconciliation. We are now ambassadors for Christ. We have been imputed the perfect, spotless, sinless record of our Lord through justification by faith, by believing in him. Now, with all those incredible things that God has done, now we move into our text in chapter 6 this morning. We're going to talk about grace wasters. Say that with me. Grace wasters, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, "We then," picking up from where we just left off last Sunday, "we then as workers," I love that word, "we're workers together with him," with God. We're ambassadors for Christ, in other words. And he says, Paul says, "also plead with you not to receive the," what? "Grace." That's a very important word in our text and in this sermon this morning, that we are not to receive, they're not to receive, the grace of God in vain. What did Paul just say? He says to the church at Corinth, and he says to the 21st century church, to Calvary Chapel, he says, whatever you do, don't waste the supernatural life and the supernatural gifting that God has given you all by grace. Did you know that Paul is pleading, using the same word that he used, I think it was in chapter 5, verse 20, where he's pleading and begging and so forth. That's the same word he uses right here. He says, good grief, after all that God has done for you, you're saved by grace. God reconciled you to himself by grace. He's given unto you the ministry of reconciliation, and that's by grace. He's given you the word of reconciliation. How did that come? By grace. You're an ambassador of Christ. How? By the grace of God. You see what I'm getting at? Man, over and over and over, he says, listen, even into your record, as I just said a moment ago, from chapter 5, verse 21, remember that God made him who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, imputed unto us, imputed unto them, that perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ into your account. That's your position. And how was it done? By grace, God's unmerited favor. He says, listen, whatever you do, whatever any believer does today, do not let that person, that believer, receive the unearned, unmerited, undeserved grace of God and treat it as vain. That word means to treat God's incredible grace as worthless, as useless, as meaningless. In other words, you're just walking all over it. That's what he says. It doesn't have any value. Listen, God's grace is never unproductive. Did you know that? Grace is our divine enablement. Boy, we need to never, ever forget that. So the Corinthians, Paul is talking to them, and I pray that's not us this morning, but here they are. They're saved, but they're stuck in salvation. Like back in, I think it's 5:15, and Paul says, listen, you should be living for Jesus Christ now. He died for you. You died with him. And he says, but you're not living for Jesus. You're living for self. And you're not going from glory to glory to glory. Remember, we learned that back in, what, chapter 3, verse 18? You're stuck in glory. You're not moving on with the Lord. In other words, you're wasting the grace of God that he has given unto you that's in your life. Spurgeon said this, the grace that does not change my life will not save my soul. What an incredible word. Loved one, listen, are we too, like Paul and all the rest of the Christians in the first century, are we not ambassadors for Christ? Yes, man, what an honor for that to be bestowed upon us. Listen, you know what? If you're not laboring, finding a place to labor, letting the Holy Spirit lead you into some form of labor in the kingdom of God, do you know what that means? It means that you're wasting or receiving the grace of God in vain. That's what Paul is trying to teach us this morning here from the Word. I don't want to be a grace waster. Do you? No. Oh, my. Listen, wasting the supernatural life, the supernatural calling, the supernatural giftings that God has given and entrusted unto you and unto me, and it's all by grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says that we are co-laborers with God. Isn't that amazing? Man, we are co-laborers with God, ambassadors for Christ. We've been entrusted with the greatest responsibility on the face of this planet to give the good news out. And did you know that the good news is all truth? Amen? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except by me. John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. You have been entrusted with the truth of God's word. Only the believer knows the way out of darkness, the way out of bondage, the way out of sin, how to defeat the devil, how to find God, how to pray. Are you following me? Only the believer does that. Only a believer, by God's grace, has been called to carry out God's plans and God's purposes on a dark, dark planet called Earth. I look at that and I say, oh, whoa, how tragic to fail to act on such a high, incredible calling. You know, if we fail to act on that, then we treat God's grace as vain grace. In other words, we're a grace waster. You know, a lazy, worldly church. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? A lazy, worldly church. You know what they do? Nothing. They don't work for the Lord. They're grace wasters. They're not in a cooperative effort with the living God who created all things. What a waste that is. Listen, it will always be for those believers who truly step out and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. it will always be an adventure. It may not be pleasant at times, but I promise you it will always be an adventure. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he says to the disciples, he says to us, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. What a journey. What an adventure that God has for us. You see, we never want to take God's grace in vain. The Bible says, remember when we closed out 1 Corinthians chapter 15 many weeks ago in verse 58, when Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. In other words, be firm, always abounding, or literally as the Amplified Version say, always doing more than enough in the work of the Lord. I like that. In the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, that word labor, toiling to the point of exhaustion, that your labor is not in what? Vain. There's that word again. It's not empty. It's not useless. It's not unproductive. No, he says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing, absolutely nothing that you do, that I do, that this church does for the Lord is ever wasted. Amen? No, we're not grace wasters. We'll never be grace wasters here because you know why? This is the word that's being preached. And if we are a grace waster, by the time this sermon is over, we won't be. Amen? That's right. Man, listen, the word of God, it wakes us up. You know, God doesn't forget anything that you do. It says in Hebrews 16 that God is not willing or he's not unjust to forget. He says your work and your labor of love that you show toward his name, labor of love. Those who love Jesus labor for Jesus. They're not grace wasters. No, not at all, and we're not. He says in verse 2, now watch this. For he says, now Paul is going to quote Isaiah 49:8 from the Old Covenant. He says, in the acceptable time, I have heard you, past tense. And in the day of salvation, in other words, in this present age of grace, then and now, look what he says. He says, I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, right this minute. He says, behold, now is a day of salvation. What is Paul saying? Now, were the Corinthians saved? Of course they were. So he's saying, God's already heard you. You've called out to him. He's already heard you. He's already helped you. He's already saved you. Don't let the time that you're in pass you by. That's what he's saying right there. He says, now is the time. Right now is the age of grace. And it's the only time that you, the only time that the church at Corinth, that we can ever be an ambassador for Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know what Paul just told the church at Corinth and us? He said, you guys are the most privileged people on the face of the earth. Don't waste God's grace. Don't waste God's grace. He says, listen, you're living in the absolute very day of salvation, the age of grace. It's time then, it's time right now to work for the Lord. The harvest is ready, amen? It's time to work for the Lord. For the night is coming, Jesus said, when no man can work. Loved one, listen, the age of grace that we're in right now is slowly closing out. It's going to end. Do you hear me? While we have opportunity to work for the Lord in the busyness of our lives, raising our children, working our jobs, whatever it might be, don't ever neglect the gift that is in you. Amen? God said, don't do that. We are never to do those things, loved one. The main reason that the church at Corinth, you know why they were receiving God's grace in vain? Because of false teachers. They were filling them full of bull. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, these next verses that we're going to get into, you're going to go, Paul must have lost his mind and went in another direction. They seem to be out of place. No, loved one. They're not out of place. What Paul, remember, he's doing, he's defending now his apostolic authority. These false teachers are making all these horrible accusations against him. And so he's going to validate now his credentials as an ambassador for Christ Jesus. And not only that, we're going to see these marks of ministry that he mentions, and he's really saying to the church at Corinth, he says, why don't you tell those people that are now teaching at Corinth, those false teachers, see if they have gone through any of this, or would they like to suffer with me through the things I've gone through for the sake of Christ Jesus, if they're really true ministers. Now look what he says here. He's getting ready to defend his ministry. He's not defending himself, so don't get confused on that. He's defending what God's called him to do. Verse 3, he says, we give no offense. We don't put a stumbling block. That's what that word means, offense. We don't place a stumbling block in front of any person. He says, we give no offense. Why? That our ministry, not Paul, but that our ministry may not be in anything discredited or blamed. See, Paul knew that a Christian is God's advertisement to the world. Amen? People watch you all the time. And you know, that word offense, let me ask you a question. What did Paul mean by that? Because does the teaching of God's word bring an offense? You better believe it. The whole world's offended over the Bible. Amen? God's word. You know, the message of the cross, the Bible says, when you preach the message of the cross, is it not foolishness to the world? So we know then that that's not the kind of offense that Paul is speaking of here. What Paul is saying is that, you know what? Those false teachers, they've brought, if we studied it out, about 25 accusations against Paul. And he's saying, they're trying to discredit my ministry. They're trying to say that I'm weak, that I'm fickle. They're trying to say that I'm in it for the money. He says, they're trying to discredit me. He said, you can discredit me as a person, but don't you ever discredit the ministry that God has called me to. See, Paul knows that wrong conduct, anytime, you know, for people, for us, every Christian, every pastor, every person that's in ministry, loved one, you know, it's going to give the lost reasons to reject the grace of God. Amen? Yes, it will. Now, listen, here's where I stand on that about offenses in my ministry. Criticizing my ministry, I don't care. I don't care. I get criticized all the time. Man, I am tough. You know, I saw a person the other day from Oklahoma, and this is really crazy. He was following a farmer here in Texas, and that farmer had a pig in the back of his car or truck. Pig fell out. Well, you know, people from Oklahoma are strange, and I'm teasing. He picks up the pig, puts the pig in his car, and he's trying to catch the farmer in the truck to give the pig back to him because he didn't know the pig fell out. So, the police hear how they are on 820, pull that guy over and said, sir, why are you speeding? He said, I'm trying to catch that guy in the farmer. His pig fell out of the truck, and he looked over, and there was a pig in the front seat of the car. The policeman said, take that pig to the zoo right now. Next day, here's this guy. He's out driving down the road, you know, the one that the police officer pulled over. And the cop looked at him, pulled him over again. He said, why is that pig in your car? He said, I thought I told you to take that pig to the zoo. And he says, well, officer, I did take that pig to the zoo. He liked it so well, I'm going to take him to the park today. Now, criticize my joke. I don't mind. Do you understand? You can do all those things. You didn't shake my hand. You didn't smile at me. Bill, you're too serious. You walk through here with a frown on your face. I don't care. I know what I'm doing. That is debatable, isn't it? You know, I mean, your kids run through the lobby, and I say, stop running. They jumping all over the chairs. I say, stop it. Don't say that. I don't care. No, listen. It doesn't take much to offend the Christian today. But I don't want to ever, ever throw a question over ministry. That's what Paul was saying. He said, in all these things, we commend ourselves as ministers or literally servants of God in much patience, or he could really say, in much endurance. Now watch this, tribulations, in needs. Now you're going to notice they're all plural needs. You know, if you start out in the ministry, you're going to have needs. Did you know that? I remember in between my first pastorate and this pastorate, I preached all over America in different places. I'd been called to go down to a little place called Taylor, Texas. It was about a 200-mile drive for me. They said, Bill, would you come down and preach the evening service? I said, man, I'd love to come down there. And so I go down and I preach the evening service, and the pastor gets up after the service. My gosh, what a great word. He said, we need to take up an offering for this man right now. And I said, well, praise the Lord. So he takes up that offering, and everybody's gone. You know, we go into his office, and he opens up his little refrigerator and pulls out a Dr. Pepper. He hands me that Dr. Pepper and says, Bill, thank you for coming in. Now, this is going to keep you refreshed on your drive back. That was my offering. Now, that's true. In needs, he says, yes, in distresses, in stripes. In other words, he was beat. Go look at, when we get over into chapter 11 and 12, all the sufferings of Paul, it's unbelievable. The beatings, you know, that he, imprisonments, tumults, that means riots, labors, or that word literally means I worked to the point of exhaustion. Paul says, I was imprisoned, and so forth. He says, sleeplessness, fastings. So that doesn't mean I was fasting. It means he was starving. He was without food. All of those are plurals. Man, I tell you what, that's just a typical day for the Calvary Chapel Christian, isn't it? No, we have a very soft assignment so far. So far. Don't be lulled to sleep, loved one. Boy, when this, if this, the things that are coming, you just don't know. So Paul, he's not commending himself again. Man, he is defending his ministry. Now, Paul didn't faint from all of those things. Why? Why didn't he faint? Why didn't he just give up? Just if you count all those things that he went through, and that's just a few, I want you to hold your place, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. And just for a second, please, and let's look at something about Paul the Apostle. Talking about not being a grace waster this morning, chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And look right there beginning, in verse 22. Remember Paul, now he's leaving, he's going to Rome and so forth, but he's going to do it by way of Jerusalem. And he says in verse 22, you see, he's talking to the Ephesians elders, he says, you know what, you see, I go bound to the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city or city after city. If you read the text, you would see how Agabus and other of the prophets, Paul, if you go there, chains await you and so forth. He says, saying that chains, literally prisons and tribulations await me. So Paul is going to go to Rome. He's appealed unto Caesar, but he's going to Rome by way of Jerusalem. At this point in Acts, Paul only has about 10 years left to live. Nero is going to take his head off, you know that. But did you know most of those 10 years were spent in prison? That's the end of Paul's life there. He says, but none of these things move me. How can we not read that and not cry? How can we read that and say, amen? He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. I don't count it precious. I don't count it to be of any value. He says, so that I may finish my race with what? With joy, and my ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus to be a witness or to testify to the gospel of the what? Grace of God. You see that? The grace of God. He was not a grace waster. He said, no, let me tell you about the grace of God. Let me tell you what the grace of God has done for me. Do you remember over in chapter 21 of Acts when the Ephesian elders, they were begging Paul. They begged Paul. They were weeping. Said, please don't go, Paul. Don't leave. He says, Paul writes in Acts 21:13. You can look at it if you want to turn the page. He says, then Paul answered and said, what do you mean, talking to these elders? What do you mean by weeping? What do you mean by breaking my heart? For I am ready, or literally in the Greek, I keep myself in the state of readiness. I am ready not only to be bound, but I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Paul a fatalist or something? No, but he was saying, I'm not willing to die for anything, anybody else. I'm willing to die for the one who died for me. I'm willing to give my life. Why? Because Paul is saying, because my will is no longer my will. My will is swallowed up into the will of another. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Paul did not waste the grace. No, he was not a grace waster.
Well, we've run out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on the program tomorrow, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.